So the way of wisdom. And just again, Johnny, if I could have my laptop, that would be great. Thank you. So as we're working through the book of James, we come to this interesting section, challenging section, James 3, 13 to 18. And so this morning, again, just having to have a title, the way of wisdom, but question, what is wisdom? So what is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? Mark Twain said, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would rather have talked. Interesting. Jimi Hendrix, bizarrely, agreed with him, because Jimi Hendrix apparently said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. It's an interesting little thought. Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. And who of us are not guilty of that? I think in the 18th century, the Enlightenment was this period of time. The Enlightenment was marked by an emphasis on the scientific method of reductionism. Dave, you maybe understand that. So the Enlightenment was marked by an emphasis on the scientific method of reductionism, along with increased questioning of religious orthodoxy, an attitude captured by the phrase sapere aude, dare to know, which was basically just a period of time that said, question everything. There are no absolutes. That was hundreds of years ago. And yet it maybe actually marries with the attitude today. There are no absolutes. Do whatever you want. Book of Judges, everybody do what's right in your own eyes. True or not? Where's wisdom and knowledge in the midst of this? Even Essar, kind of American satirist, said the disadvantage of becoming wise is that you realize how foolish you've been. Again, yeah, the disadvantage of becoming wise is you realize how foolish you've been. Derek Tidball, in his commentary on the book of James, intelligence and wisdom should never be confused. Do you agree with that? Intelligence and wisdom should never be confused. Have you ever talked to people and thinking, I've certainly with Karen, said, yeah, your man, bright spark, brains to burn, but not a peck of common sense. You know, intelligence and wisdom should never be confused. And early in the book of James, James just simply writes, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God. So what is wisdom? And whenever we unpack, we'll just work through these verses. Again, it'd be lovely if you keep scripture open on your lap. And the first verse, 13, to me, just, you know that little phrase from primary school? It's a show and tell day. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Show and tell. If you're wise, let me see it. Let me see it in your life and how you live. Examination. Question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Any of you? That's the examination that James is writing here. He's saying, you wise, have you understanding? Where's the evidence? Let him or her show it by their good life. Let's see it in evidence in how you live. And then, interesting, I've just used the word experience, because by the deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And in that few lines, those words, there's an experience that actually, you know, was it Jimi Hendrix? Knowledge speaks, wisdom listens. There's a humility that comes from wisdom. And in the words there we read, by the deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Is that why later in James chapter 4 he picks up, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Or God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Because in wisdom there is a humility and not an arrogance. But show and tell, show me the wisdom by how you live and by how it works out through your hands and feet. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, going to Corinth, terrified, chapter 1 and into chapter 2, allow me just to read a few little sections. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Verse 22, Jews demanded miraculous signs, and the Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Verse 27, but God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Chapter 2, verse 3, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Verse 6, chapter 2. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age. So not the knowledge of this age, but the wisdom of God is what he is driving at. Alex Moyt here in his commentary says, the Bible nowhere places much value on knowledge that remains merely cerebral or creedal. Nothing is known until it also reshapes the life. You catch hold of that? So it's not just about the information. It's about how it shapes your life. Nothing is known until it also reshapes the life. So the work of God's Spirit and God's Word, God's truth in our lives, molds us and shapes us. One of my heroes of Christian music, again, Dave will have a wee smile there, Rich Mullins, the late Rich Mullins, fantastic song called Creed, and it's just a song based on the words of the Apostles' Creed. But in the little chorus section, he sings this, I did not make it, no, it is making me. It's the very truth of God, not the invention of any man. And what Rich Mullins is saying in that lyric is that we don't make the truth, if it's alive and living, touched by God's Spirit, makes and remakes and reshapes us. I did not make it. No, it is making me. Question this morning for all of us, is God's wisdom, God's truth, shaping our lives? That's his design, but are we living in a disciplined life? And the word discipline from the Greek root for disciple. God's design, a disciplined life that lives to that design. And so you end up with lovely blankets and fantastic, what was the word again? What was the phrase? The telehandlers. If you live to the design, you have a life that is shaped the way it should be. Show and tell. Next little section in the book talks about the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And verse 18 is so challenging. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Anybody any guess what those words, those texts might be? What would the verse be? They're actually pretty much all the same thing. I'm not going to pick on anybody, but I really want to. All of those texts on the screen, Job 28, 28, Psalm 111, verse 10, Proverbs 1, 7, 9, 10, 15, 33, all the same verse. It's just because you checked my PowerPoint last night, Karen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I love the way the Living Bible, oh, that's a bad text, sorry, I'll read it to you. This is the Living Bible translation or paraphrase of that verse. For the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. For the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. The source of wisdom is God Himself. God's truth, God's Spirit living within us, and then living disciplined to that design. Aristotle says the heart of the, or says educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. This is something that comes from deep within us. Stephen last week led our thoughts, and one of the little phrases he used was, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Aristotle, educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. And that's what James is driving at here. Matthew 7, just again, by their fruit you will recognize them, how it works out in our lives. But here, look at verse 14 and 15. Speaks of bitter hearts. Harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. Bitter hearts produce a bitter harvest. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. Galatians 5, verses 19 through to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. If you have a bitter heart, you have a bitter harvest. And the source, look at verse 15 again, it's from the devil, from hell, from the devil himself. But the source of wisdom, verse 17 in the passage, talks about righteous hearts. You just read the verse to us, sorry, jumping across. Wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving and considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. If you have a righteous heart, there will be a righteous harvest. Verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Its source, says verse 17, is from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving. So the question for us this morning, righteous hearts or bitter hearts? Because with a bitter heart, there will be a bitter harvest, the source from hell itself. Righteous hearts will produce a righteous harvest, and the source is from heaven. I was reading over Psalm 51 during the week, and this little verse jumped out at me, thinking about this morning. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts, and there you teach me wisdom in the inmost place. That psalm of confession and brokenness is very aware of what comes from within. The harvest of righteousness or a harvest from hell itself. GIGO, an American computer phrase, anybody tell me? What does it stand for? Yep, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, you get garbage out. And that lesson for our lives, what we put in to our heart will work its way out in a harvest. That's the challenge for us this morning. Again, it drew my mind to Psalm 1. Allow me just quietly to read it to you. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. But not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Two kinds of wisdom. The one who spends time with the wicked, the one who delights in God's law, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Living in God's wisdom will raise a harvest of righteousness and peace. It's the challenge for us this morning. What wisdom are we living by? The world's wisdom or God's wisdom? The last thought is this. The measure of wisdom is not what one knows, but how one lives. The measure of wisdom is not what one knows, but how one lives. Show and tell. The source of wisdom. What is the source in your life and in my life? The band are going to jump up, and we're going to lead two songs. First one's another one of the GB songs, so the girls will be happy. But this is a beautiful song, and it gets me every time we sing it. Maybe it'll be slightly unfamiliar, but keep our seats as we sing. Then we will go into I Will Offer Up My Life, and during I Will Offer Up My Life, we will lift the morning offering. But just quietly sing this song. This is a song of confession. Lord, I need you. Just please allow me to jump round. Begin thinking about what we have spoken about and talked about this morning. Thanks, Wesley. These words, I think, are appropriate maybe just as a moment of confession.
James is just going to come and lead us now in prayer. Thank you.
Let us pray.